Hey folks, welcome to episode 294 of the MLF Bass Fishing Podcast in Grove, Oklahoma. I'm Jody White, joined also in Grove, Oklahoma, by the one and only Kyle Wood.
The band's back together, man.
Yeah, baby. We are here at beautiful Grove, Oklahoma for the Abu Garcia College Fishing National Championship, which is presented by Yeti and also presented by Lowrance.
The Abu Garcia College Fishing presented by Yeti National Championship presented by Lowrance.
Exactly.
Yep.
Which, honestly, I feel like there should be a different way to nest that extra presented by in.
But oh, yeah.
Again, I don't know.
There have been longer, crazier titles for this championship.
I mean, one time it was presented by the Lowrance Insight Genesis College Cup. I think. Maybe more stuff, too?
I think there was a couple other modifiers on top of that. But point is, we're in Oklahoma. We got the college natty happening this week.
Yep.
And that's why we're together.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk about that for sure. We're going to preview the upcoming Toyota Series event on Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep.
The ice fishing event.
Yeah, this one could have been, too.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about those two. We'll probably touch on Smith Lake a little bit, but I wouldn't say a lot. We've got a new Rattle Trap-based game that we're going to try. I don't 100% know that it's going to work, but it's worth a test. And that'll be pretty much it. Also, we might talk about Gussie some, because, you know, shout-out to Gussie.
Yeah, we do love Jeff Gustafson.
But anyway, that being the case, I think it's time to read an ad, right, Kyle?
I think it is.
Do you want to hit this one and I'll hit the last one, or vice versa?
Yeah, sure. I can take it away. Folks, few lures have stood the test of time like the original Rattle Trap by Bill Lewis, and now, with the help of Major League Fishing Pro Mark Daniels Jr., we're launching the SB57 and MR6. Go to rattletrap.com to learn more.
Wow, I think I'm going to go there right now.
I'm already there.
Well, man, that is the place to be. Anyway, what's our, number one thing here? Shall we talk college?
Probably. I guess it's why we're here.
All right. So, we are here. You did a preview of it. We've kind of talked to some anglers. It seems like it's super tough.
Yep.
Is that pretty much what the ball game is?
Yeah, and we should probably really preface this by, if you listened to the last podcast, Jody and I were hyped to get down here to go catfishing with Jeremy Lawyer.
Oh, yeah, this is the tragedy of the century, boys.
It did not happen, and here's why it did not happen. Last Friday, I believe, is when Jeremy...
Yeah, it was Friday or Saturday.
He went fishing. He came over here to go catfishing.
To pre-fish.
And never caught a catfish. So he was like, you know what? I don't think it's happening. And but he said there's the big shad kill on the lake because of how cold it was, and they're not eating. And really, from what we're gathering for this national championship, that's kind of holding true.
Yeah,
big shad kill. Things are tough, and I mean, really, I guess the positive thing for this week is, like, right now looking out the window, it's really sunny. It's supposed to be like almost 60 today. The next couple days are also supposed to be pretty warm.
There's definitely going to be some big fish caught shallow on the bank or, like, sunning up under a dock. Like,
yeah.
It's warm enough, and it's especially in the afternoons, it's going to be nice enough that, like, there's going to be some dudes who run into that kind of random big Grand Lake bite.
Yep.
I don't know if that's going to be a tournament-winning pattern, considering how cold it still is.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest issues, aside from the fact that Grand was frozen
not too long ago,
all the way across, like 2 weeks ago, is the water's really dirty from a lot of the runoff they had from stuff melting, influx of water.
So I question that a little bit.
Or it's muddy.
Yeah.
It definitely looked muddy when I drove over the bridge yesterday. I've heard a lot of things about it being muddy, but cold, muddy water
is tough. I think part of the problem is it's too dirty. I think you can catch them on an Alabama rig, I bet. But I bet that it's not... Like, I bet it would be better if it was clearer. And I bet the same thing goes for a jerkbait. Like, I bet it's I bet it right now it's too dirty to really effectively fish a jerkbait. And if
I can buy that.
If those conditions were reversed, like if it was a kind of a clear and cold Grand Lake, which I mean is possible. Mm-hmm. Grand Lake can be clear and cold. I bet that you would see some better fishing.
Oh yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, like one of those college dudes said, it's Grand Lake. Anything can happen.
That's right. And, you know, we haven't, this afternoon yet, we have registration. We're going to take photos of the teams as they come through. We'll probably get a little more dirt. Not that that's really going to help anyone listening to this. So you'll just have to follow along on MajorLeagueFishing.com to see how everything unfolds.
Great place to be.
It is. But yeah, it'll be, it's not like this tournament, let's say things were normal. Like we didn't have this huge cold snap. And we were just fishing the first week of March on Grand Lake. It would probably be a pretty solid tournament.
Yeah, like I think that. Remember, so let's see, 2019 was when Lawyer won.
Yep, that was like in April or end of March.
Yeah,
very end of March.
I want to say end or maybe beginning of March. But that one we got kind of, we had kind of bad luck too from a weather standpoint.
Yes.
I think that you have the potential for a tournament like that. Probably, or maybe worse. Probably not a lot better. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you remember that tournament, like, there were some individual very big fish caught. And, there were some good days, and then there were some, like, absolutely terrible grind-em-out days where Brian Thrift didn't catch limits.
Yeah.
And that, well, it seems to be happening a lot lately, actually. But historically, that doesn't happen.
End of March is when that 2019.
Okay. So, yeah, this one, probably a pretty cold, kind of a grind.
Yeah. But, you know, we should probably cover, like, what the teams are fishing for. There's 150 teams that are fishing or qualified to fish.
Yeah, there's some unaffiliated teams, too, which is worth a mention.
Yeah, there's, I can't remember what the number was. There's over, like, almost two dozen, maybe, a little less than that, teams that are here but not affiliated with their school or university due to, like, travel restrictions.
Yeah, like, basically, like, they qualified when it was allowed for them to travel, and then their school has, like, since revised where they can travel to or whatever, and so they're just sort of showing up as, like, guys.
Just two dudes.
Two dudes.
Or, I guess, I don't know if there's any solo people in that situation, but...
I think there probably are, but...
Also, you know, you might see some solo anglers this week.
Yeah, which it kind of happens in college, probably more so this year than typical,
right.
I would say. But, yeah, there's always going to be your kind of random solo guys.
We should probably go over also what, like, what's at stake, right, for this championship.
Absolutely.
What guys are bringing home. The winners, it's a, they get a boat. It's a Phoenix 518 with a 115 Merc. It's a 518 Pro, I should say. Phoenix, 115. They also, both guys on the winning team or just the winner, if it's a solo guy, get entry to the 2021 Toyota Series Championship this fall, which is on Pickwick. So they get a fish as boaters and then try to compete for possibly a top prize of $235,000. So it's kind of a, you get two championships in one, maybe by winning, but also, I think second place also will get entry to the Toyota Series Championship to fish as boaters. And then third place gets entry to the Toyota Series Championship, but they will fish as co-anglers. So then they'll be competing for that top prize of a boat, which is that Phoenix 518 Pro with a 115.
I feel like probably most of these guys know that they can fish like the Toyota Series Championship, but I bet still like on the final day it will be a surprise to somebody.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's like kind of a weird thing to think about. Like you're fishing a championship and you might make a championship that's, you know, 10 months from now or whatever. I guess it's not
right.
10, it's like 7 months or whatever. It'll be here in 2 weeks at the rate the season
goes.
Yeah,
no kidding.
but it's a really cool little bonus because honestly, like, there's a lot of schools here from Alabama and from Tennessee and, you know, Bethel's got some teams in this derby.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
you could absolutely see one of these kids, or a couple of them, you know, factor in at Pickwick.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's kind of cool from the standpoint of, in this day and age, there's a lot of college kids, you know, that use the, well, now high school fishing, you go to college fishing, and then you take that next step. Some guys, you know, are fishing opens or the Toyota series, and, you know, maybe
still kind of college.
Skipping AAA.
Yeah.
Cody Huff, right? Did that while in college, fished the Toyota series.
And was also like the best ever.
Yeah. But I think it's a unique opportunity.
Almost beat Lambert.
Yeah.
While he was in college.
It's a unique opportunity because I think a lot of these college kids, you know, may want to fish more of that kind of stuff. But again, you're in college, right? It's not like you can just jump in a couple of divisions of the Toyota series or even really realistically fish one of them, right?
Yeah.
Like I know in college, there was no way I could have done that.
No.
I mean, I could have, but...
would have been,
my credit cards wouldn't have been happy about it.
it was technically possible.
Yeah, yeah. But so it's kind of cool that it's you can also give these guys a taste of maybe what they're trying to pursue, you know, going forward as a career, and maybe make some money that can really help them kickstart a fishing career and, you know, get their name out there.
Yeah, because like college fishing, it's if you win, it's pretty big money. But
yeah.
There's not like big payouts down the field. Well, these guys, you know, at the, you know, at the Toyota Series Championship, finish in third place, make a pretty good check.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
You didn't have to, you know, spend the money on entry fees to fish the season, the whole season. You know, you didn't have to travel for it. You can make a lot of money. It can be good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's definitely a cool little bonus, and I'm with you. I can't wait to see on the final day what schools... you know, in that top three, you're like, whoa, wait, I get to do what now?
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be hopefully a good tournament. We have a good coverage crew here. We're going to do like midday updates, basically, every day. And there won't be like a live leaderboard. It'll be kind of like a Toyota Series Plus sort of coverage, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
But there will be a TV show that comes out from the event.
Not sure when, but
that'll
definitely
air at some point.
Yes. So should be hopefully a good derby. Hopefully the fishing is better than everyone says it will be.
Yeah, which, you know,
fingers crossed.
Could be the case.
The weather's gonna be all right.
Yeah, yeah. The weather, we definitely have that on our side.
All right. Next up, this is the real ice tournament here.
Yeah, that is true.
So the Toyota Series Plains Division is kicking off on Lake of the Ozarks. The Toyota Series is presented by ARE. The event is presented by Fenwick. And dude, there is, like, as of us recording this, I'm pretty sure there's ice on Lake of the Ozarks.
It's pretty wild.
It's just, the lake is, like, so cold that when it's been below freezing at night, they've been getting skim ice over it. I have seen so many videos of guys doing the rock test. I've seen so many videos and photos now, especially because I've solicited them, of just sheets of ice over like certain creeks. It's, on the one hand, it's kind of a mess. Like, it's not ideal tournament conditions. On the other hand, it's going to be a pretty good sized field.
Yep.
It's fascinating from afar.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Lake of the Ozarks is probably a good enough fishery that, like, even though the fishing might be super tough, we could see some really good weights, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking here at the 10-day, like, basically sunny for the next few days. Supposed to get up into the mid-60s. The lows are going to start hovering more towards 40 degrees at night instead of 30 degrees at night. Like, yeah, things are... It's kind of like here. Things are trending the right way to help get that water temp up. You talked to Scanlon yesterday, and he said it was like in the 30s or something, high 30s.
Yeah, he gave me like two temperatures. One was 36 degrees and one was 39 degrees. What's notable about that is none of them were 40 degrees. You know, like when you're seeing water temperatures in the 30s, like that is seriously cold water.
Yeah, yeah, that... Oof.
That's Jigging Wrap stuff right there.
Yeah, seriously, it is. Like, and we talked yesterday a little bit. The interesting thing to me is like spring or let's say March, not spring, March in the Ozarks, when you get cold weather windows, like if it's stable for a little bit and you get like a little cold snap, historically, I feel like that's when that jerkbait bite is like fire. Like they chew.
I mean, like
that
we've been on
stuff.
Beaver Lake a lot, and it's been, granted, it's typically not this cold, but there have been a lot of times where the fishing could suck when it's been either freezing cold or a really bad cold front or something, and actually you can catch them.
Yeah.
And I think that this is probably a little bit different kind of cold, but also I feel like guys could still catch them.
Yeah,
like I'm much more optimistic about this Lake of the Ozarks event than I am about the Grand Lake event.
For sure.
And I think a lot of that has to do with, one, the water clarity, and two, sort of the way those fish can set up, the variety of ways you can catch them there.
Yeah.
And you've got so many species, right? Because, you know, Grand Lake, like, you can catch spotted bass, but typically you don't ever win with spotted bass.
Yeah.
You can catch some pretty good spots on Lake of the Ozarks. And I'm not saying that you're going to win this tournament on spots, but I'd be curious to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think just Lake of the Ozarks, a bass in Lake of the Ozarks...
They're more used to the cold.
...is used to it getting cold. Maybe not quite to this the extreme cold. It did.
Yeah.
But they're probably like, okay. And now that it's warming up a little bit, I'm sure... Yeah, guys have been practicing since, Saturday, or, I've been down there for a couple of days. It probably hasn't been fun. There's probably been places you went to cast, and your bait just landed on some ice on top of the water.
Yep.
but I think...
There's definitely some guys who have, put some miles on their boat, fiberglass, from idling through ice and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, FYI, if you're looking to buy a used boat, just double check that the guy fished the... Yeah.
Which still... boggles my mind that ice can scar fiberglass. Like, I know it does. I just don't understand how.
Well, it's sharp.
I get that it does. To me, fiberglass is harder than ice. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't take an ice cube and be like, well, let me carve something with it,
I have a hard time believing... that it would be thick enough to do a lot of damage to fiberglass.
Yeah. Well, if you look at some of the chunks of ice on the bank there, though, like, there was some thick ice there.
Yeah.
And so I think some guys have decided, well, I'm going to do something stupid.
Probably.
Is probably where the main scenario is. Which, shout out to them. I'm super in favor of guys doing dumb things in boats, actually.
Yeah.
Just, wear your life jacket and your kill switch.
Mm-hmm. Be safe.
I've done really stupid things in boats, and I'll do it again. it's wild. We put up a little preview where I talked with Scanlon, and I got some photos from Todd Hollowell. And, he took a photo for me this morning, and you can see clear across, at least a moderate-sized-looking creek, and it's frozen.
Yeah,
just now, ice. You could idle through it for sure. It's not... You can't walk on it. It's not safe, but it's frozen. You probably couldn't cast through it except with like 3/4 ounce jig.
Yeah.
I think if you fired your drop shot out there or like a little shaky head, probably not going through, but
yeah,
it's wild, man.
But again, I think the weather, it's kind of maybe trending the right way to start creeping some water temp up a little bit. I feel like we'll see some guys catch them. I could see like a rubber skirted jig and some brush producing a couple of big ones in this event.
Dude, living rubber, like the actual rubber, would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
I would be down to
see
that.
Maybe an old pork rind trailer on it.
Oh, definitely pork.
Yeah.
I think I'm also curious to see if someone catches them, on a jig and wrap, on a Dimiki rig, maybe moping. I think that there's probably some kind of window for someone to really just keep a spinning rod in their hand and fish almost vertically the entire time. Because you could totally do that up north.
For sure.
In the wintertime. So I'm interested to see if that kind of becomes a factor.
Yeah, there could be some cool patterns that you normally wouldn't see on Lake of the Ozarks this time of year present themselves, just because it made fish more like a winter time tournament than a springtime tournament or an early pre-spawn tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say spring, but there's birds chirping outside and there's no snow on the ground here, Jody, so it's really throwing me for a loop.
Yeah, a lot of, definitely there's a pretty good number of things that think it is spring or spring-esque here. All right, well, so I tried to copy and paste, like, in a bunch of Rattle Trap names to play this Rattle Trap game here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take one more crack at it. Do you want to kill some time somehow while I try to make this happen?
Yeah, I think I could probably do that. Oh, honestly, not to make this seem like an afterthought, but we should probably cover that Dustin Connell won Red Crest on Eufaula.
Yeah, it's not our afterthought so much as it's not our main thrust, just because it's what you get with Kyle and Jody.
It happened. Now, crazy thing, Jody threw the little jab at Thrift there for not catching him on the final day of Red Crest, which I truly believed Thrift was just going to, like, go ahead and run away with it. But watching Red Crest, and Dustin was using... He had active target, Lowrance active target.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, like, a lot of guys were catching him on forward-facing sonar, whether it was live scope or active target. And it, like, it became a big deal in that event, especially fishing brush and... like, the jerkbait really kind of, like, blossomed into a thing that really, like, the third day of Red Crest, it seemed like more guys were throwing it. The water was clearing up, too, which is what why Dustin made the switch to it. Because he caught, like, two in a brush pile on his third day of competition, the knockout round.
And you're right.
And then the water cleared up. So he had to go to a jerkbait, and dude locked a jerkbait in his hand the whole final day, and held off Michael Neal. I really thought Real Deal was going to come on at the end too. Like,
dude, Real Deal was having himself a pretty good derby.
Yeah, the last like 40 minutes of Red Crest was pretty intense to watch. But congrats, Dustin. It was an emotional victory. It's cool to watch him win it, and yeah, maybe we'll rap with him about it sometime.
I would be curious to see if. We, like, I wonder if we might enter some kind of a phase of, like, I don't know if, maybe it's jerkbaits, maybe it's something else, but some innovation on live scope lures, or forward-facing sonar lures.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, you know, we saw it in the fall with Walters, we've seen it at Rayburn, or at Fork.
Yep.
We saw it at Eufaula this week, at the Red Crest, like, jerkbaits are a super effective lure when you pair it with active target or live scope. And, like, there were a lot of guys who used a variety of different jerkbaits, and they weren't all megabass jerkbaits,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of intriguing because
that's supposed to be the deal.
That's the jerkbait, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, if you look at, like, what Dobson does, he doesn't just throw a megabass. He throws a pointer a lot, actually. But... you know, it was curious to me. And maybe it's just fish have seen a lot of megabass jerkbaits. Or maybe there are jerkbaits that are really good for fishing blind, your megabass, and then other jerkbaits that are really good for fishing when you're watching everything that's going on.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up because I completely agree that there could be, not like a resurgence of the jerkbait, but definitely
jerkbait's super hot right now. I mean... honestly, like, what, 2 or 3 years ago, this is pre-active target, pre-live scope. The jerkbait, it was like the bait of the season on the Elite Series. Like, a ton of guys caught fish on it at all sorts of wild times. Like, there are so many times where I can remember where Palahniuk would catch a fish on a jerkbait in Florida, and then you catch one in the summer in Texas.
Right.
And it'd be like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing with a jerkbait, but it worked. Washam now catches fish on a jerkbait all the time.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
We're in an overall jerkbait resurgence. I wonder if specifically we could see, like, kind of, we could learn a lot more about a jerkbait than we've ever learned before now that we can watch it happen.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think it'll be kind of a cool thing to track along with. And I'm sure we'll see some of that at Smith, I would bet.
Yeah. Well, let's play our game, because I think we got it dialed in now. Have you pulled up this list of baits? And then I want to talk about Smith afterwards. Is it in
the Google Doc here?
It's not. You've been invited to a new Google Doc.
Oh, that was this thing I got.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Then hold, please. Please distract the listeners for a second. All right.
Well, I'm going to just explain our theory here.
Okay.
So Kyle has a complete list of Rattle Trap colors in front of him, which is exciting because it contains an uncounted and incredibly large number of colors.
So many colors.
Yeah. Some great names in there. If you want to call out a few of your favorites, go for it.
This is 3 pages long.
I'm telling you, it's a lot of colors. I copied all of these colors from Tackle Warehouse. So, and I had to do it one by one. So this took me like a solid 10 minutes this morning. I'm going to pick a color on Tackle Warehouse. I'm going to describe it a little bit, and then I'm going to give Kyle 3 guesses.
Okay, okay.
I do not expect you to guess this, but it'll...
It should be fun, though.
It should be fun. It should familiarize folks with sort of the... Kind of the whole Rattle Trap color field, if that makes sense.
Which, honestly, I'm pretty sure we've brought this up on the podcast before, but if you haven't looked at that page...
You owe yourself a scroll down of just every possible Rattle Trap color. It is incredible.
Yeah, because if there's a color you were ever like, man, I really wish someone made this in a lipless crankbait, and you haven't ever looked at Rattle Trap, they probably got it.
All right. Anyway, we're going to start off with a... this is a partially translucent bait. It is black and gold with, I would say, like one sort of translucent section on it. Do you have a guess?
So some translucent, black, gold.
Oh, also it's a Rattle Trap. Did I mention that?
Well,
oh, yeah. Only comes in 1/2 ounce, too. Some of these, they come in... You might be able to get this in any other size, but some come in 1/4, some come in 1/2, some come in 3/4. This is... it doesn't have the other options, so I would assume that means it's not one of, like, the ultra-popular colors.
So I'm just kind of... Right now, I was scrolling down, like, up and down the list to kind of see what... man, I guess... Maybe like a, no, that doesn't, some of these names I feel like the actual names for the colors, I feel like paint a really good picture, and then some of these names you're kind of like, well.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess just to get the ball rolling here, I'm going to guess Silverado.
No. Great color name, though. But definitely not that.
Okay.
Want me to describe what Silverado looks like, or should that not be part of the game?
No. Okay. So, some translucent.
It's some black and translucent. Some black, some gold. It's got, like, a little bit of purple and, like, a little bit of, like, chartreuse, I guess. But I can't... I would really feel like I need to see this in person to describe... To 100% be sure about that.
What about Goldmine Shad?
Wow, right in 2. It's you should
no
look,
way.
Dude, it's one of the, it's a.
All right, now I
picked it because I thought it was like kind of descriptive. Like it's actually like our next one that I'm gonna go to here. I'm gonna tell you right off, you should not be able to guess this. Okay.
Thank you.
I mean you might, but like it's not a it's not like a normal, I don't know. I don't think it's a very effective description of the color, if that makes sense. Anyway, this one is sort of like a root beer chartreuse color, if that makes sense. Like root beer green on top, white on the bottom. It's got some gold flecks. It's got some orange on the stomach.
Whoa.
A little bit of orange. And then it's got some bars, kind of like a perch or something like that. Whoa. Then they're kind of blackish.
Ooh.
So, okay. Have fun with this one.
Yeah, this thing's got... okay, give it to me again.
Root beer green color scheme, essentially.
Okay.
Like, or maybe chartreuse kind of color scheme. White bottom, chartreuse upper part.
Okay.
Some bars, some gold flecks, a little orange in the belly. Or throat.
Wow.
Perhaps.
Orange tiger craw?
No.
Let's see here. Only because he said it, I'm going to just throw this out there. Root beer craw?
No.
You said root beer, so I was like, oh, maybe it's a...
We're going to talk about how you say root beer.
Root beer?
More later. But it's funny because you have guessed two colors that look nothing like this color. And it just goes to show, like, one, how many colors there could be. I think I'm describing root beer correctly, but maybe I'm not.
I'm just going to end... I don't know why I keep getting drawn to this. Tiger Craw Olway.
Oh my goodness! You didn't guess it.
Dang!
But you were sort of close. It was Spring Bream Old Way.
Oh!
Which, if you look at the color, it kind of makes sense on the Breamy scenario.
First of all, I got to look at Gold Mine Chad. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All
right.
And then now I got to find...
Now, do you want me to click off of here and you try one on me?
Oh, Spring Ram Olway. Yeah, okay. No, I think you were right on with the root beer.
Yeah, like that was the right color.
Yeah. I could...
All right, I've clicked over to the list. I've clicked off my Tackle Warehouse tab.
Now I just got to find one that looks...
Like, you can see how you could make it very hard or very easy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could describe any red one, and you could guess a red thing and be totally wrong.
yeah.
But also, there are some where, like, you could describe it, and you could have kind of a good ballpark.
So, I'm just kind of trying to find one.
Also, the B&B series kind of gives it away.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you say it's black and blue, it's like, well, you've only got so many places to go.
Let's go with...
I'm going to have to cut out some of this silence here.
Okay. Let's go... I'll just start with an easy one.
Okay.
It's red.
Oh. Well...
With some black stripes.
Red with black stripes. Vertical stripes?
Vertical stripes.
Is it the B-E-R trap?
It is.
Yes! Easy because it's early, and right. I've seen it a lot.
Yep. Also, that was one I wanted to guess. Like, or I was hoping you would describe something like that.
So that you could guess it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But... Let's go with this one. It's kind of got like a black back to it. Definitely kind of a white / creamish color side to it.
Well, I have no idea now.
With an orange belly.
It's not copper brown back, red belly.
It is not.
Okay. It's got an orange belly.
That's a fun color, though.
What about vertical stripes? It's not... I don't know, man. This is... So, here's where you're kind of like just guessing stuff. It's not Melon Chat. I've seen that one. Does it have craw in it? Can you describe it again?
Yep. It's like a... it looks like... A black back with a white, creamish-colored side and an orange belly.
I think it could be like a perch colored thing. I think sometimes orange bellies, they like call them things. What about pumpkin perch?
No, but I like the guess.
Okay. Let me take one more guess here. That's not Warmouth. That has like a pattern on it, I think. How? I don't think Cranapple. How about... Did I guess Crawfish Old Way already?
You did not.
Wait. I'll guess that.
It is not it.
Okay. What is it?
It is Young Sunfish, which actually, probably looking at, it's kind of a dulled chartreuse, I guess, maybe more on the side would be a better way to describe it.
Oh, but it yeah, kinda dude. It kind of
looks like a creamy, white, like...
I almost gave you this one.
Oh.
So I feel bad that I couldn't get it.
But that, I mean, it's one that definitely, you look at it and, like, it doesn't scream sunfish.
No, not at all.
At all, like, it just...
It. If you think about it a little, one thing, if you open it up and you look at it really big, the scales and the mouth pattern are actually holographic.
Yeah. It's got like a little, he's got a little
yeah, thing so too. You can see that it's not a craw, that it's supposed to be a sunfish or something. Yeah, good one.
Hey, that was fun.
Folks, let us know if this game is horrible or not. You can contact us at podcast@majorleaguefishing.com. Let's see, Smith Lake. I think the only thing that we need to preview on the Smith Lake front is just that while we were kind of queued up for a spotted bass, deep water, live target, active target, live scope situation, not saying it won't be that, but right now they've gotten a lot of rain. It's actually kind of muddy at Smith Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's hard for the whole lake to get muddy.
Right.
It's almost impossible, actually. But pretty significant stretches of it can get muddy, and when it does, like, it can change the fishing a lot. Like, it can turn it into a cranking tournament pretty quickly, actually. So, just stay tuned. I wouldn't say folks need to, like, get all in on a fun, shallow cranking tournament. It could certainly be a variety of things.
Yeah, we got a week yet of...
Yeah. But you know, it's gonna be maybe a little less by the book than we planned.
It should be all right. It also looks like extended forecast. It's gonna start warming up a decent bit, like maybe up into the 70s for highs instead of the kind of upper 50s, 60s.
You know what that means? Flip flops.
Yeah,
that's the key. So anyway, I would say stay tuned on the Smith Lake front, and then I think other than that, probably I'll just read an ad and we'll call it a day.
I think so.
Alrighty. Well, folks, few lures have stood the test of time like the original Rattle Trap by Bill Lewis. And now, with the help of Major League Fishing Pro Mark Daniels Jr., we're launching the SB57 and MR6. Go to rattletrap.com to learn more. And I guess that does it.
I think it does.
Kyle, you have anything you want to plug, promote, etc.? Okay, perfect. Folks, MajorLeagueFishing.com is your home for all sorts of coverage this week and next week. We are going to hit Smith Lake hard. Also, get potentially hyped for a Jesse Wiggins / Smith Lake ride-along.
Ooh.
He's got to say yes so far, and I haven't asked him yet, but assuming he says yes, it's content I would be extremely interested in. So you should be too.
Basically, just leave a tab open on your computer or on your phone or on your tablet.
Yeah, and just refresh it like 3 or 4 times a minute.
Yeah, and you'll have
an hour. Maybe not.
Non-stop great content coming your way.
Yeah, click on the ads a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, folks, thanks for listening. Kyle is Kyle Lumber on Instagram. I'm Jody Blanco. Kyle, there's pike there now. That's key.
Yep, big pike.
Probably soon to be Grand Lake photos. So, huge stuff.
Yep, doing big things. And I guess, until next time, see you.